Hey fam, in today's episode, I had the incredible opportunity of sitting down with Aisha of Myra Champ to discuss her journey in business and how she is running and operating her brand, Myra Champ. Myra Champ Nigeria is a lifestyle brand that is proudly made by a Nigerian. The brand deals with handmade items, mostly handmade bags that are made from different quality materials like beads, fabric, and leather. I'm sure you've probably seen one of their beaded bags on your Instagram Explore page. So I really hope that you enjoyed this episode and that you learned something new. All right, let's get into it.
The Business of African Fashion Podcast is all things fashion and business. We specifically talk about how African fashion entrepreneurs can learn, grow, and develop skills to dominate the fashion industry. I'm your host, Victory, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Aisha. Good to meet you virtually. And I said this before we went live. I'm really, really grateful that you said yes to having a conversation with me today. So I'm excited to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be part of the show.
Yeah, so I was looking around doing some research about you a little bit, and I saw that you have a YouTube channel, which I actually watched some of your videos.
No, that one, like, please.
So I guess to like start off, my first question for you is like, how did you get started in fashion? How did your passion for fashion start? Was it from childhood? Was it from your parents? Like, give us the background.
My passion started because I wanted to make money. Let me be honest, I wanted to make money. So there was nobody that was pushing me anything. I wanted to make money. And I wanted, for you to make money, you have to do something different, something unusual. So something that was not available, that, okay, yeah, it's not available, but people need it.
Yeah.
So I was in school. Then I won't be able to do so many things because I'm not a student, and having a business is kind of difficult and impossible. But what they call it, COVID came in. Even before COVID, I've been running a fashion brand. But when COVID came in, I was able to think wide, and I started like that. But let me not lie, anything I've done in this life, even that I did nothing, that is because of money. So that was why I did it. So I have something to go back on. Apart from your profession.
Yeah, I hear you. And that's very honorable. And I just love the honesty because, I mean, it does make sense. Like, you want to do something that's lucrative, you want to do something that's profitable, and you want to do something that, like you said, can bring in that extra income for you. So, like, for me, for example, when I was in uni as well, I used to sew for my friends on the side, like, mend their clothes, I'll make them head wraps, scarves, just a little extra source of income. So I definitely can relate to, like, you know, wanting the extra source of money. So how did you, when you decided that you were going to go into fashion, how did you decide which aspect of fashion you wanted to do? I know your brand, you have some like makeup products that you do as well. So how did you narrow down what exactly you wanted to do?
So when I started with, I was making ready to wear. I don't know if you know that, but because I've deleted some from my page.
I didn't know.
I started with scarf, actually. And with scarf, I started with like 14. I started my brand with 14,000 naira. So wow. I went to the market. I got some materials for scarf. I cut it like one and a half yard and did the edges and just packaged inside nylon. So that's what I did. Then I saw some clothes, posted it on my WhatsApp. People were pre-ordering. So let me just say, I've been lucky with business that people patronize. Even when that was my first time, people were pre-ordering. So I got pre-orders to study, ready to wear. They did that too. So normally, I'm into food also. I wanted to just...
I watched your YouTube video.
Yeah, I wanted to cover the whole like major aspects. I don't have money, but I just wanted to do the whole food, beauty, and fashion. So that's what to do. So the food is there, the beauty is there, and the fashion, even though I don't have time for it, there's just the fashion. So I now I'm doing one. It's not like I don't have lip glosses available for sale or everything. They're available. If you want to buy, but I don't post it. So meaning it's people that know that this guy is selling this, they'll be able to patronize, but I don't promote it. I don't do anything. Why for my bag? So I later realized that I have to focus on one. So when this one is doing well, when you introduce others, they'll be able to like embrace it. So I tried like have everything down. I stopped the old scarf and you know, the ready to wear dresses I was making, because I'm a Muslim, so most of my friends too are also selling scarf. They're ready to wear for it to be bigger and for it to do well in the Muslim modest wear, you have to use an expensive material like brocade, original silk. You have to use something expensive for people to appreciate it, and the design must be unique. It must not be the regular one. So if your design wants to be regular, you have to use a material that only you can source. Others will not be able to get. So it was kind of difficult and expensive to run a clothing brand, because you can't buy the material in bulk. You don't even know if people like the material yet. Then you're risking it. So I still feel clothing is more expensive than what I chose, the bag. So when I decided to like just narrow everything down to the bag, but it's easier. It's just the bag. Once I make a bag, once I'm making another one, it's going to be exactly the same. I'm like ready to wear now. If I wear it to my own body as someone that is not slim, as a thick person now, and it's a slim person is wearing it, at times it alters the design of the clothes. Unlike a bag is a bag. Even if it is big, it's still the same. Even if it's small, it's still the same. So it's just easier generally.
Yeah. And I love that you kind of did a whole, like you had a plan about it and you looked at what's working versus what's not, and then that you made that shift. I guess was that shift intentional for you when the bag started to, and for those who don't know, Myra Champ has really, really beautiful beaded bags that are so cute and they're really popular right now. And I really, really love the aesthetic, the design, and it just is very quality work. So for those bags, was that decision intentional for you to kind of shift your attention to focus on that? Or was it something that came as a byproduct of people liking the bags and then you choosing to focus on that?
So I started leather bag, that fanny pack. My department wanted to do the nursing week and the team was denim and fanny pack. So I said, okay, let me make an inquiry. So I did my research. I got someone that can make the fanny pack for me. So I started with fanny pack. It did well. Even non-nursing for me, it did well. And the profit was like crazy. The cost price and the clothes was just crazy. I really gained a lot there. So after I did what they call it, I started going to handbag. So the handbag kind of like messed the whole thing for me, because it was not like of quality. The woman was making reduced quality. And like fanny pack, it's just the old fanny pack, the one with like that look like a purse and has a belt. So that was what I was doing. That was very easy. So I wanted something quality for a bag that would be solid and strong and everything. She wasn't delivering well. So I made a huge loss. That would be like my first loss. I did the bag, though people still bought. As I realized that, I don't think it's what I'm offering. It's just like people just want to patronize me at some point. Because this bag, I didn't even like them. But yeah, people were still buying. They were patronizing me. Then fast forward to 2020, COVID year. I said, like, I didn't want to make your regular square bag. Everybody doing this leather bag, they're making it. If I want to make another, I'm using a different leather, but eventually it's still going to be the same thing. So let me not do the old leather bag. So I decided to go into fabric. Let me use four. So I made those bags. So people really like them. They patronized and everything like that. I started to make clutch too. People patronized, liked it. Then I was about going back to school after the whole lockdown to resume back. Now my friend was telling me that going through bidet, it was never my decision. I didn't even plan on doing it. And normally I'm a very stubborn person when it comes to like listening to people's advice. But this one was just so natural. Oh, going to the, I said, okay, fine, let me see. One of my aunts do make bidet bags. She'll show you some designs. Maybe you like them. So when I got there, I was like, can I see some of your designs? Showed me the designs. I saw one. I really loved it so much. It was really nice. That's one of the designs. I know that when I started with, I'm still selling it because it's not on Pinterest. It's not from any page. It's my creation. So I continued with it. Then I saw the love. It was unique. It was not the regular beaded bag. That was what gave me an edge. that's when I started. Even people that have started before me, I passed them because that particular bag was one that made the way for me. And it seemed like one of my best selling till now. That's the Pierre Breyer bag. So I just decided to like listen to her. Let me see your aunt. And now she's working for me now. She's my PA. So it started as a business partner, but as like employer and everything. Just work for me, work for my brand.
I love that.
And she decided to stay, and we've been together since 2020.
Yeah, that's so nice. And I'm glad that two things that stuck out for me from what you mentioned. The first thing that you said was that you were doing, when you said the word research, my heart fluttered because I was like, that's so good. Because a lot of people don't really do research. They kind of just like throw things at the wall and see what sticks. I mean, that approach works too, but also doing the research is helpful as well. But then the question that I have for you about, you said you had some issues with the lady that was producing your bags. When you go out to source, and this is shifting into like producing and manufacturing in Nigeria, what does that process look like for you when you're looking for people to create products for you? Do you make all your products yourself, or do you have artisans that create and then you kind of purchase from them?
So now, yeah. Me, when I look for someone, I don't want to look for someone that is not like I'm trying to work on someone, like how like cheat someone. I didn't want the old exposed artisans, because eventually these people that are exposed, they can do anything to make money. So they will cheat me. So I was looking for someone that is not, she's good or is good, but she's not into the old social media life. That's what I was looking for. Someone that will understand me. But eventually, the best thing will be selling my bags behind me at a cheaper rate. These people are criminals, we know. So, and I was not in the, to make the business easy for me and interesting, I had to look for someone in my own location, Sangota, Ogun State, that will be able to do this thing. So I will enjoy this business. Or else, I'll have to go to Mushin, Lagos, to look for this Senegal artisans. And it's going to be difficult for me. It's coming from, like, I know the number of times I spent with this woman. I literally cut some of these bags, make the design myself, for her to be able to sew it, do the measurements myself. So that's the difference. These artisans, I don't need to do all those stress. They are good. They'll be able to do it. But this one, I have to be done to sit down, tell her the measurements. She cannot just see, check my sketch pad and bring it to life. I have to do all the work. So it pains me now because I know I'm doing this. She's loyal. She's not going to do this to me. She's a mother. She has 2 kids. She's a good Christian. I want to work with someone that is loyal, someone that has fear of God. So and this, most of them, they work with other bag makers too, not just you. So your personal, I'm discussing with, oh, my champ was there. No, I don't want people to know people that are working for me. They're not behind this. People know their names. Like I mentioned it at times, oh, Mrs. This, Mrs. That. You know their names, but I want them to be like behind the scene. In a way, not like everybody will have access to them, because people can go and meet them, give them money, do this, do that. So that's it. How that I was trying to do. I just do something that was close to me. It's not the money. I pay them well. It's not like they're cheaper or something. I pay them well. I just don't want something that be far from me. So I just settled with her. Even though she gave me headache and everything, I decided to like pay money for her to go and learn more. So she's going to be better. So I invested in her a lot. And that's what I do to everybody working for me. If I see they're not up to what I get, I just have to invest in them. Pay for more, for them to train more, to learn more, and everything like that. Now that I'm in Lagos, maybe, just maybe, Mushin is very close to me. I can now use those artisans. But then I was in Ogun State, and they were far from me.
I see. And just, I guess, point of reference, I'm from Ogun State as well. I actually grew up in Sagam, like lived most of my life there before I moved. So that
they don't
Sorry?
I said, you can see they don't have so many.
Yeah, there's like a limited amount of, I guess, like artisans I can get access to. But I love that you were like trying to train people and get them to acquire more skills so that they can be able to work for, or, you know, deliver the quality of the products that you particularly wanted. So I guess speaking of you running your day-to-day business, how do you financially plan for your business? Do you like get funding from investors? Does your family help you out? Or is this just like your personal investment? And feel free to share just as much as you want to. I definitely don't want to put all your business out there.
So my business, I started with 14K.
Wow. was you done really well.
Yeah, something that was given to me by my aunt. She gave me I think that was £15 or £20, I can't remember, but when I changed it, it was 14k I got from it that year. That was 2018. She gave me that money then. So I got the money, I withdrew it, and I went to the market. That was how I started. So normally I've not had the opportunity of someone giving me like 1 million for your business. Nobody has given me that. The money just from what I sell, I reinvest. But recently, that was the ending of last year or beginning of this year, I've seen my sister, she has given me, oh, take this 400k. My friend, she wanted to save her, stop keeping her money in her account, take this 300k. So that's the two, like, it's very, very direct and straightforward. Those are the two people that give me big money. To me, I'll say big money. And if I forget, there's one of my friend in 2020, COVID year, then she had, I'm going to mention her name, but she really helped my business. She's one of those people that I've never met her. We've never seen each other. We've just been friends on social media. We met on Twitter. She's from Ghana. And let me just, she's from Ghana. And she just liked my business. Where I talk about my business, then on Twitter, I was always tweeting about it. And she found out, okay, yes, this person, let me invest in her. She had vision for my brand, even more than me. So then she assisted me when I was having challenges of the machine the woman was using. I invested in the woman a lot. We got the industrial machine for making bags, all those things. So she gave me money for all those things, roughly 400k. It's not like she gave me the money once. She was giving me small. So I can't even remember total amount, everything. So for me to have this packaging I have now, she invested in it for the packaging. She gave me money for packaging too, money for the machine. So the money she gave me then, that's what I used the money for. So I can say for my brand to gain the recognition, so because of the money she gave me then, because by then my packaging stepped up and people noticed the packaging then. Mm-hmm. So that was what helped the brand. So the packaging, money she gave me, the leather bags became good and better because we got new better machine. So I'm not into leather bags like before anymore, but she contributed to it. So I won't forget her. That was in 2020. Then when my business started making sense to people, that's when my sister could say, okay, take this. My friend could say, take this 300k. I'd let me keep it to you, but they know I don't spend my money foolishly. So she knows if she's giving me 300k, I'm using it for something, putting it in my business.
Yeah. So
that's the only money I've gotten that has helped me. And when I was in school, as best graduating student, so they gave me 250k. So it was part of what I did for my business too.
Yeah. That's awesome. And I want to applaud you because you're actually really, really smart. And everything that you're saying about being wise with your money, even knowing where your investment comes from, like you have it in your head. You know the people who have given you money. If you know you have to do like a return, like if they ask for their investment back, I'm sure that you have all of that figured out as well. And that's really, that's a really, really good strategy and a really good plan to have. So let's transition to like, doing business in Nigeria, some of the challenges that you faced, what's been the biggest one that you faced and you overcome, or maybe one that you're currently going through right now?
It's the copying of them. They don't see that problem.
People, do you mean the copying of the like beaded bag designs?
They don't see that as a problem. It's too common. The last time I had to like speak out because one of my designs, Gongong, that design is a masterpiece. I spent months trying to bring it to life. I researched, like the bag was not something like for the hand, you wanted to make something that was not regular, that was not out there. So like my creation from scratch, there are so many bags I've created, they've taken it, I don't complain, I don't talk about it, but this particular design, no, like that's one design I know I spent a lot, like the investment I spent to buy the beads at once was a lot. So I spent a lot on that design and people just take it. I mean, coming out tell you that, okay, I'm asking you to take this design, but don't do it exactly how I made it. Add your own, like recreate it and put your own touch and everything. And I was seeing solved on beaded brand pages about competition, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to lie, there's obviously competition. Even if you are my friend, there's competition, but there's something called healthy competition. It's not toxic, it's not healthy, but competition is needed for a business to even strive and do well. So even if they are trying to form, the old sister code and everything like that, fine, good for them. But me, I'm not going to play with my business. Like, I'm not touched when I see it happen. And the annoying thing is that when they want to do this, they block me before they post. They block my business page. They steal the design. If you feel you are just taking this and there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, according to them, why are you blocking me?
Yeah.
So that's challenge now I'm facing, and it's a problem, but they don't say anything with it. But their defense is always like, when you started with people's design. No, there's no design on my page that I took directly from Pinterest. If I take it from Pinterest, Pinterest posts on page, they don't post it under a brand. You can just see some design that they just posted it. It's not under a brand or something. That would be it. And now, when I say I stop all those things, so you cannot be using that one as defense. Like, when you do, how many designs are from Pinterest on my page? How many? If you say design from, I didn't use the same bead. That would be just one pink bag. I didn't use the same bead to make it. It's a different bead entirely. It's not even exactly the same way the person did it. But that's always the difference. But you too. If it's for me to stop, I will stop producing the bag. But will you stop producing my bag? No.
I hear you. And I can see how that's a challenge, because even outside of Nigeria, it's a challenge too for a lot of designers where, you know, fast fashion brands will copy their items and replicate it. And for you, the challenge that you're seeing you're facing is that people are literally just waiting for you to do the intellectual work of creating a bag, and they just copy. But you know the funny thing, Aisha, I feel like there's like several options, and I'll suggest this and feel free to take it or dump it in the trash. But something just came to my mind because I was reading a little bit about like the history of fashion. And in the past, what some brands have done to like quell this is that when you design the bag, first of all, you have to take some legal steps to like protect your copyright. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can talk to a lawyer, protect your copyright.
Not working.
But then also, after you do that, instead of them stealing it, you can sell it to them. So if they're going to take it either way, that can be another source of revenue for your business, where you say, I'll give you the license to my design, but you have to pay me for it. But we can talk about that offline, though. So
yeah, that's funny. I've done that. You can take this design, but you have to sell it. I don't need their money. Sell it the amount I'm selling it. Don't sell it. Don't devalue it. Don't sell it cheaper. But they block you once you reach out to them. They block them. These people, they are so brutal. I don't know what to call it. They don't have emotions, and they don't see what they're doing as wrong. So if you confront them, they think you are trying to fight with them. And for the legal step, it's not possible. Because it's beaded, you're not molding it. The beads are available in the market. I've spoken to 4 lawyers. And I'm tired because everything I'm telling you here in Nigeria, you waste your money.
I see.
You waste your money. So, like, for the legal part, it's not even working. I've been doing it since November last year till now. And it's not working. Let me advise you. As you're my guy, you're in Nigeria like this, there's no law. You waste your money. This, that. And you know, at times when I compare, just that, you know, just you should be motivated. They are trying to, like, it shows they are doing something good, that they are copying you, blah, 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 blah. No. It demoralizes you at times, and you don't want to, like, you don't want to create anymore. But I feel like when you create, some people are feeding off your creativity. I don't want to do that anymore. So it makes you less motivated, not motivated. You're always less motivated. You don't want to do anymore.
Yeah, I definitely hear you, and I can hear your frustration as well. Because it just seems like it's like they're waiting for you to create something and then they just pounce right away. And I can see how that can be very frustrating. So I don't have a solution right now, but I'm definitely taking notes so that we can, because I have behind the podcast, there's a community of other African entrepreneurs in fashion. And basically that community is just for us to come together and brainstorm ideas to our problems, the problems that we're facing. So I'm definitely going to take note of that one as well, because it definitely is a big issue in fashion industry in general. So I can definitely see how that can be frustrating for you. I saw on your Instagram, though I haven't been stalking you, but I was doing some research and I saw that you like to read. So we're just going to go into a little fun question really quick before we come back to like you know, the regular podcast, what's been your favorite business book that you've read so far? Your favorite one that has impacted you the most?
I'm going to say Rules of Wealth.
Rules of Wealth. Oh, I haven't read that one, but I'm taking notes.
So the reason why I like it is because it's just, it's letting you know that so many things, so many things that I can borrow money for my business, but I can tell you invest in it than to borrow money. Like, you know, you learn so many things, but if you are borrowing the money, if you're letting them invest in it, you are not under pressure. Like, you are letting them know that this thing is not, it's not short term, it's not. But if you are borrowing the money for a while, they'll be spending their money so time, and you'll be under pressure, but you're trying to return someone's money to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just want to you understand what it means to be wealthy, not rich. Like, what it means to be wealthy, you're trying to accumulate money. You're not just doing it for short term, it's a long term goal. So, and how to like manage your resources, how to manage your staff, people that work with you, mm-hmm. how they're like great assets.
Yeah.
So you learn a lot with from the book. I'm currently reading one, How to Win Customers and Keep Them for Life. I really like this one.
Oh.
I'm funny enough, I read it, but I don't stick to authors. That's me. I know the title of books, but for the authors, I don't really notice them. How to Win Customers and Keep Them for Life is really good. It's interesting. I'm not done, but it's interesting. Once I'm already out of ideas on what to do, I just go there, and it works for me. Like, I got one that you have to be close to your customers, message them, talk to them, and it works because I don't use the old email marketing for now. But I said to message all of them on Instagram. At least I message 100, and out of that 100, at least 20 bought bags. Like, them, oh, it's been long, blah 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 blah, and you see someone telling you, oh, I wanted to come back, oh, but I don't have money. Just tell them that, okay, I'm returning customers, can have this discount, you'll be excited, call their friends, this. So I learned something from just that. When you're already losing you're already having, let me say, creative block, then no sales kind of so if you pick up the book, you have something that will ginger you, and you surely make sales. Maybe you read that book, your customers will come back. It's like
magic. I love that. And for everyone watching, I'm going to have a list of the resources that Aisha recommends. So in the show notes, make sure that you check those out so that you can get access to those resources. But you talked about like staff and how to train and motivate your staff. How do you do that? How do you find good people to work with? How do you motivate your staff? How do you inspire them? How do you keep them? How do you communicate the vision of the brand to them so that they're also plugged in and tapped into that vision?
Okay, so now I have 5 staff that are with, like, I pay them salaries, but I have students that are learning bid making too. So like, that's it. So, but they also work for me because they're learning. When there's order in bulk, they also make it because they're still learning. So we use them too. So these ones that we are using now, they will work. I don't need to pay them, but I pay them. So there can be days that I just give them. They're never expecting the pay because they are learning. I still pay them. So to give them, I can tell you, anybody that make 5 bags today, I'll give you this. They will make 5 bags that day. They'll finish it. I give them the money. Then for the ones I pay, some of them, they are done with school. They are yet to get admission, all those things. So I have to motivate them that, see, I'm a lady. And these are ladies too. Like, I'm a lady, you want to be like me. Some of them, you look at it, they're like my age mates, my age gap. Like, I'm older than them with just a year or two. So I tell them, you want to be like me. I didn't start like this once and ever. I started gradually. You have to understand this. You have to like what you're doing. You have to have passion for the job. And they've also seen some of the people that have reached out to me. Most of the people that have bought the bags. Most of the people that works with the brands, they've seen that they are like public figures too. So they just have hope normally. Like, oh, if they see a post picture of any celebrity, oh, they'll go and say, we made it by this, they're also proud of it. So I made them have the hope feeling that they must, even if I'm just like, and so what? I've made it in a way that they're always happy. So once I tell them, see, by you're delivering it person. This is a celebrity. Package it well. Be clean. Make do the finishing well. They know, they understand it. They're like, they're always happy to do it. And everybody, I want to be just make so and so bag. I want to be just make the bag. So when she posts, I'll say, oh, I made the bag. So that was what I put in them. And they're used to it. Therefore, the head designer, like I'm the designer, but my assistant, that's my PA. That's my friend's aunt I told you about. She was working as a salary person. She was under salary before. Then she stopped going to that particular job. Then she focused on this old bead making. And so she hasn't how much she has gained. She makes per month. No, she can come to work. Not like she comes to work anytime, but if you are sick and you don't go to work, she will say she's not going to work and you'll be able to rest at home. So not like she'd be forced to like come to work. She can come late. There's no day she won't come, but she can come late because yes, people are in charge, people are doing, there's no work today. So she saw the advantage that she can take care of her children because she has 2 kids and 3 kids. So yeah. She saw the advantage and okay, there's money in it and everything. Funny enough, my staff, they don't like when I'm not there. That's what made me. I'm always proud of myself. I expect these people to want me to be fine from them. But whenever I'm not around, they don't like it. Because they don't, how I put it, there's lack of motivation, lack of creativity. Because I doesn't like, we create design like every day, it's always there. I can see a bag now, I want to bring out another design from this bag. I can sit down. Whenever I'm in the store, my head is booting. I'm trying to think of new style, and there's more sales because I'll create more content. But now I've been away from the store, no content. Page is just dry. They don't like it.
Yeah.
So they don't like it. So normally I just tell them for their own self too. You can be your own boss. You can make your own money. You can do this. You can do that. That's just how I motivate them. No one wants to tell you that. That's just it.
Yeah, I love that you have a relationship with your staff. Like, you all are cordial with each other. So when I was in Nigeria, I was an apprentice. I was a tailor's apprentice. And I remember in the shop, it was just always, there would be a radio, there was a Yoruba radio station. I was playing in the background. People are, while working, were sewing. But, there's just a rapport in the shop when everybody's there. So I imagine that that's the kind of relationship that you also have with your staff.
And dancing and singing. It's always I
definitely I missed that, and I remember that we had that in the shop as well when I was an apprentice. So I love that you have that with your staff. I do want to ask you, how do you maintain your mental health as, first of all, as a Nigerian, but then second of all, as an entrepreneur in this space? How do you take care of yourself physically, mentally, spiritually, everything?
My mental health, I try not to compare myself with another brand. What most brands like to do, or people like to do, is like followers counts on Instagram. It is not necessary. It can be someone in your own community having so thousand, and you just have 6K. You can be better than them. So never use the old, and don't compare with anybody. You can say, okay, yes, I want to be like Brandon Blackwood. I want to be like Fisayo. I want to be like Animal. These are people I look up to. But just imagine now, this Brandon Blackwood blew, like, it was doing well, but after 5 years, he got the old, same with Sky Collective. I think she's like, maybe over 5 years before she got the attention. So she blew 2020. Animal. So most of these people that I see, they'll be like, I say myself that my business has not yet blown. My business is growing. And I like the fact that it's not the old overnight success. The overnight success will surely come. That's why maybe a particular person will carry your bag, tag you, and it's going viral. I have videos going viral, but there'll be a particular time in a day you have so many orders, like 100 orders, like 200 orders. It will come. But right now, not my business has blown because it's just there. It's doing well, fine. It's just gradual. So I just know that life is a process, and there are challenges. I just understand that with me. And whenever I'm not doing well, I just look at the days I did well, the days I made this thing. I set a goal to make how many thousand sales and everything. I'm not even close to it. But I'm not beating myself up to it. I'm not beating myself up because...
We're still in May. You still have time?
No, I'm not beating myself up. If it's going to happen, fine. If it's not going to happen, like, still fine. But I know it's just giving me, like, oh, you need to do this. You need to have another strategy. You need to step up your sales. You need to find another way to do this. Pay for advertisements and that, and that. But I realized that you just have to keep on doing your own stuff. And the world, let me just say, the world is watching. People are watching you. And keep on doing it. Then my physical health, use my drug. Whenever I'm sick, go to the hospital, use my drug. When I'm having headache, I sleep. It should be like, I'm not taking orders today, and I won't take orders. I just want to, I'm not checking this phone today. Today is rest. I'm on vacation from business. I'm going to do it. It's my holiday. It's my holiday. Because we work every day. We take orders Monday to Sunday. Anytime. If the handler is online, if I'm online, even if it's 2 a.m., I'll reply your message. They know that one. There's no day. There's no time. I can't reply. So I don't have a specific time, or maybe 7 to 8. No, I'm available whenever I'm available to reply. Then the handler can reply during the day. But when I'm online any day, I can reply any message. That's it. Then I just pray. If things are going well, I'm to rely. Thank God. If you're going, thank God too, because, you know, there are reasons why things happen. I can remember when I was running sales, I was trying to do my Facebook account. God, I don't know. It was difficult for me to run sales. I lost my authentication. I needed the authentication stuff, and I've lost the SIM. I could not get it. So I could never make advert for the old, oh, I'm running a sale and everything like that. But immediately after the sale ended, the Facebook thing came in like a miracle. It started again. And then I was really beating myself, like, I need to do this, I need to do that, blah, blah, blah. And I realized that, okay, why is it after the sale, this now worked again? Mm-hmm. That it didn't make me promote. So I just told myself that maybe I would have encountered a terrible customer that would destroy all my hard work. And I just started overthinking it, that God had reason for it. That's me. If it's going well, God has reason for it. If it's going left, God has just prayed to God that as it is going left, your mental health will check. Everything's intact. No wala.
I love that. I love that. You take life as, you know, as it comes. You don't compare yourself to other people. That's so important. And then you also said that you try to remember that life is a process. And the concept of overnight success is really an illusion, because everybody has been working behind the scenes. And sometimes you don't see that. You only see them when they blow up, but you don't know the blood, the sweat, the tears that have gone into, you know, being a brand.
Like, have you not seen someone starting to run? Like, they just made the post, no stress at all. They're just thinking of it, and they posted it. It goes viral. Before the person even starts, even launch the brand, and person has already sold out. It's possible. Wow. Yes, it happens.
So that.
It happens.
But is it sustainable, though, that kind of virality?
That's a problem. So they have to, I think it's more difficult, but like to do something different and extra to keep their customers to keep them around. But if it is gradual, it's interesting. People can tell, oh, I know when you started with this. Oh, you're so hardworking, blah 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 blah. Just that. So
had more time to connect with you, to know you and like you and trust you.
Yeah, so, trust is very important.
Yeah, yeah. I was also gonna ask, like, how many years have you been in business so far?
I'll do the fourth year this year, August.
Nice. So what is something that you know now that you wish you had known when you first started?
It's going to be saving business money, like paying myself salary and saving, like, when I mean saving, don't stop touching business money. That's my business money is different from my personal money. So now I've not gotten it right. I still mix my business and my spending money together, my personal money. So everything is still not in check. But I have always known. It's not like I've not always known. No, I've always known. But
I'm just
trying to make it happen. Yeah. Also,
go ahead.
I found out that what's the word? The more you use your creativity, the more it comes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I wish I had known earlier, but I got to know that the more you use your head and you try to think of style, the more it keeps coming. So I try to like be creative all the time and not steal from people. I've seen designs that I like too. I don't recreate it. Like, let me do my own. It's going to like do well. Also, customer satisfaction, like you have to be trustworthy. I want to get your bag on Monday before 12 p.m. Let it be on Monday 12 p.m. People that I did that for like 2 years ago, they tell you now that God, you're so distinct. You're delivering very fast because of the fact that you're not even in Lagos. You're located in Lagos State. How do you, like, that's what they're asking. How do you do it?
You're
so fast and it's handmade. Do you make it down? This, that. So
I love that.
So I made, I'm thankful because it took my money, but that's like something that made the business easier and interesting.
Yeah.
We don't have to rush order. We make down, we keep in the store, then just pick and deliver.
Yeah, that's really good. So you mentioned three things. Separate your business finances and your personal. That's something we talk about a lot on this platform because I'm actually an accountant. My 9-to-5 is in accounting. So this platform, I really try to give resources to people about how to manage their finances for their business. And I was going to ask you if you know any good business bank accounts in Nigeria that you have tried or that you've seen your friends use in any capacity.
No. People use I don't know what it does for business or anything, but I know people use that.
They use what? Sorry, I missed that.
You're asking me the bank.
Yeah, or resources.
I know people use just Kuda Bank.
Kuda, okay.
And I don't know about this, but me, I use the regular bank in Nigeria. Like, that's what I use. Also, before I forget, you spend money to make money.
Oh, that's another good lesson.
Make money.
But how you spend the money is important still.
How you spend money is important, but obviously in your business. So if you don't spend money, I don't run advertisements, market your business, don't spend that money. You just want to be collect. I don't spend at all. You know, basically not make money. There's nobody that is doing it.
Let's talk about marketing. How do you market? How do you handle marketing for Mayerchamp? Are you focused on digital marketing? Do you do any in-person word-of-mouth marketing? How does that work for you?
For marketing, there's gathering that people don't know that they as a brand. So I start with that. Personal, I have to sell myself first. That's one. Secondly, I use a Facebook ad on Instagram. That's the Instagram marketing. Then, so that's what I use now. But I told myself this year I'm going to be doing the old hand flyer stuff. I'm now in Lagos. I'll be bringing my girl home. It's going to go well. It's going to go viral. So it's something. Then probably pay for a billboard to add advertisement in Lagos. So one of
the
two. So that one I'm just trying to do for this year. Part of my goals for the year.
I love that. I can't wait to see your stuff on the billboard somewhere. That would be so amazing because your bags are truly beautiful. So I would love to see them like on the billboard, and that in itself is a work of art. So you mentioned that you sell yourself. So wherever you go, you're not shy about talking to people like, hey, my name's Aisha. I have this brand. You make sure that you sell yourself. And then you also use digital advertising as well, or digital marketing. I love that. So
but if I'm giving the opportunity to myself, my business is like, I must put it. My name is Aisha, and I'm the founder of Mayerchamp Nigeria. It's a must. That's how I produce it.
So it's part of your identity now. Yeah. So we're going to jump into the lightning round now. So this round is basically like the first answer that comes to your mind, just answer, and time is of the essence. So we're just going to quickly run through a bunch of questions. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So first question, What's the best purchase you've made so far in 2022? A random thing, doesn't have to be business related.
None. Has not been the best. None.
You haven't bought yourself anything this year?
No. This year has been tough. But let me say, I paid for an advertisement, like proper advertisement. Like we made a video for Valentine. So I know that. And it came out to people, the comments, people, yes, you did well, blah, blah, blah. That'll be it.
Okay. I love that. I have to go check your Instagram page because I don't think I've seen that video, but I'll go look. I'll go look in your archive. Next question. If you could tell someone starting out in African fashion, in Nigerian fashion, just one thing, what would it be?
People are designs. Your mental health must not want to know. People will see your design. People, also, you have to spend money. Nigerians want to spend money on their business and don't make this money.
So you tell them people are going to steal your design, so be ready.
Prepare for it.
And then secondly, you have to spend money to make money. Gotcha. Okay, next question. What is your dream for Nigeria and the African continent? This one is kind of deep, but...
deep. God, I didn't... I just want an African country. Like, let me just like this continent just work. Good leaders. It's not just Nigeria. Every African country don't have any good leader. Let me just say... my dream is also to have a good leader and a good, you know, a working economy. A working economy for Nigeria now. Everything this, I don't know where to start from. As I'm talking about this country, I don't know where to start from. But let me just say, working economy, a working economy in Nigeria. I can't swear. I don't know where to start from because. I don't even believe in a better Nigeria, that there will be a better Nigeria. I don't believe in it because it's getting bad, it's getting worse. And this, everybody has the same ideology. Everybody going into that position, they have the same thing, same idea, the same bad thing they want to do. No one has a difference. Anyone that is telling you I'll do this, I'll do that, they'll get there, they'll do something else. So saying a particular thing just as if I'm wishing for the impossible.
So you want good leaders and you want some, you just want the system to work. That's all. I hear you. Okay, so that's the end of lightning round. Where can people connect with you and where can people connect with Myra Champ after this episode?
They can check me on Instagram _ai.shah_. Then Twitter @Mustafa_iChamp. That's all. Yeah, for my business, marachamp.ng and marachamp on Twitter and marachamp on TikTok.
You're on TikTok? That's nice.
I'm trying to like get, I don't understand this, bro. I'm trying.
I'm sure,
so I can't do the whole thing. I can't do all those things dramatic for me, so.
I just joined TikTok with, you know, Business of African Fashion. So I'm also figuring it out. So we can figure it out together for sure.
For you, it's kind of easy. Once you make a video giving talks, like post it, it's kind of Google. But for a business, especially for a brand, show yourself with the bag, be talking, be making all those things people make. It's not... I don't think I've ever made a video of myself on my business page trying to do what other people used to do, trying to just transition. Because I'm not the one making, like, I make the bags, I can make them, but I'm not the one.
Do you have a social media manager? Like, do you have someone who manages social media?
Yes, I have someone working with me. But when I even reply faster than that, I mean that I'm going to work.
So maybe she can handle the TikTok and do all the posing and all the dancing for you. But you know, I don't know if that's like a priority, but it's fun to do, so maybe.
But yeah, so I'm just trying to do the old transition videos, you understand? So maybe like showing the beats and making it, bringing it. So I'm still doing that.
That's nice. I'll definitely check out your page. All right, friends. Do you have any question for me, Aisha, before we wrap up the episode?
for your fashion community that you just opened, I want you to actually reach out to. Don't be scared or anything. Be free to reach out to anybody that you want to have an interview with, and just do it and try to bring people together. And if possible, with growing bigger, just like have a, because you're not in Nigeria, because I'm part of a fashion society Lagos, and they have a virtual physical meeting.
Oh, so that's nice.
I went for one on Sunday, last Sunday. So you just talk about your frustration for the week, what you've gone through for the week, what you're facing in your business. You rant, and these people, they are people that can relate with your problem, because they're also into a business. Not like your friends that might not be into business, but these people, they're also into the fashion world, in the fashion industry, so you can rant and just tell them. And I want this platform to grow bigger and people to know more about it. So I said, don't be scared to reach out to anybody. Reach out to anybody, any business, any entrepreneur you want to work with, you want to interview, just reach out to them. These people have a nice too.
Yeah, and I so appreciate that, because honestly, I've been like, you know, it's a little scary. You don't know if people will ever reply or if they'll pay you any attention or any mind. But listen, I'm going to keep reaching out. You never know who will say yes, right?
So that's good now. If I send a message, come and carry my bag. I will send a message. Don't reply. Nothing's going to happen to me. Nothing's going to happen to the brand. It's everybody can shoot business shots. So
shoot business shots, guys.
Yes. It's not embarrassing. Like, I sent you a message, email. We like to carry this bag, we like to use it, we like to advertise my brand. Yes or no, that's the answer. And if you decide not to answer, that's a no, and I'm taking it. So,
yeah, I'll take that advice and I'll keep it and I'll put it into practice as well. But for everyone that's watching, thank you all for watching. If you're watching the replay, thank you for watching the replay and for sticking with us all the way to the end. Aisha, it's been so great having you here. Thank you for sharing your words of wisdom, the books, the nuggets, everything. And I'm going to go check out those books, and I'll DM you and let you know what I find useful in the books, because I'm also a bookworm myself. So I so appreciate the recommendations. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today. All right, friends. See you all on the next episode. Bye.
Hey. Thanks for listening to the episode. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps other entrepreneurs just like you to find the show. Don't forget to share your tweetable moments from this episode using the hashtag Business of African Fashion. And if you would like to hear from me, follow me on Instagram at Business of African Fashion. We're also on TikTok at Business of African Fashion. And remember, the destination is definitely worth the journey. Keep going, keep creating. Your story could be next.